Chapter 12. Sheltering under an old umbrella of Erica's, Kurt hurried back to the telephone box to receive his scheduled call from Ireland. The Fortnum & Mason's clock showed he had 3 minutes to spare when he arrived, but the box was occupied by a woman in a feathered hat. Continually checking his watch, he paced up and down outside the box in the teeming rain. At 12:30, he tapped on the glass. The woman glared at him and turned her back. He went around the other side of the box and rapped on the glass again. He gesticulated, pointing to his watch. Again, the woman turned her back. He hammered on the glass. At 12:35, the woman finally completed her call. She put the telephone onto its cradle, but made no move to leave. Kurt opened the door, holding on tight against the wind. "I need this telephone. I'm expecting a call." She rummaged in her bag.
"I was here first. I have just one more call to make. You can wait."
"I'm sorry, madam. My call is urgent."
"So is mine. Please leave and close the door."
This close to the woman, Kurt could see the layers of makeup, her badly applied lipstick. She was a lot older than she appeared from a distance. The smell of powder in the confined space made his eyes water.
"Listen, madam," he said, "my call is a matter of national security."
She looked down her long, pointed nose at him.
"You're not wearing a uniform. You'll just have to wait your turn."
She lifted the telephone and began to dial. Kurt let the door close and continued pacing. 3 minutes later, the woman completed her call. Kurt opened the door. She scowled at him and began searching her bag for change.
"I won't be much longer," she said. "I need to make one more short call. Do you have any change?"
Kurt was contemplating murder when the telephone rang. She picked it up.
"Hello?"
"That's my call," said Kurt. He wrestled the handset from her and she squeezed past him. Kurt stepped into the box. The door slammed closed behind him.
"Hello, Kurt. Is that you?"
"Yes, it's me, Mother. Let me speak with Gudrun."
"I'm sorry, Kurt. Gudrun's not here. She's missing. She failed to collect Anna from school 3 days ago, and we haven't seen her since."
Kurt swore under his breath. He was too late. His mother said,
"We have received a postcard from her."
Kurt's heartbeat increased at this news.
"Where was it posted from?"
"Germany. There's a picture of Hitler on the stamp."
His heartbeat doubled. How was that possible?
"Are you sure it's from Gudrun?"
"Yes, I'm certain."
"What does it say?"
"It says, 'Wish you were here, Gudrun.'"
"Is that all?"
"Anna wants to speak to you."
"Hello, Papa."
"Hello, Anna. How are you?"
"Please find Mama and send her home."
"I will, Anna, I promise. Let me talk to Nana again. Love you."
"I love you too, Papa."
A loud, insistent banging on the telephone box forced Kurt to turn and peer out through the rain. He found himself face to face with a London bobby waving his truncheon. He waved back and mouthed the words, 2 minutes.
"Listen, Mother, I have to go. Put the postcard into an envelope and send it to me. Have you got a pencil?"
"Yes, go ahead."
The bobby opened the door of the telephone box.
"This lady has made a complaint. She says you forced her out of the box."
The woman stood there holding her hat against the wind, a miserable, pouting expression on her face.
"Just one moment, officer," said Kurt.
Then, into the telephone, "Address it to Erica Cleesby, Hotel Phillimore, Bayswater Road, London."
"Erica Cleesby?"
"Yes."
"What was the hotel called again?"
"Phillimore."
"Can you spell that?" said his mother.
"Never mind the spelling. It's on the Bayswater Road. Have you got that?"
"Bayswater
Road, yes, Bayswater Road."
"I've got that. Erica Cleesby, Hotel Phillimore, Bayswater Road."
The bobby seized the telephone and replaced it on its cradle.
"Step out of the box."
Snorting in triumph or disgust, the woman squeezed between Kurt and the bobby and took possession of the box.
"Show me your leave pass or discharge papers," the bobby shouted above the wind.
"I don't have anything like that," said Kurt.
The bobby grabbed Kurt by the arm.
"Right, my son, you're coming with me down to the station."
"I'm Irish,"
said Kurt. I'm not in any army. I'm just looking for a bit of work. The policeman pursed his lips and gripped Kurt's arm a little tighter.
Irish, is it? Show me your papers.
I don't have it with me. Sure, why would I be carrying my papers? Everyone knows me.
Name?
Kevin O'Reilly.
That lady said you received an incoming call on the telephone. Who was it from?
My mother in Ireland. Look, officer, let go of my arm. I have to get back to my digs.
Kurt twisted his arm from the bobby's grip and darted across the street to Fortnum's department store. The bobby followed. Moving at a pace that surprised Kurt, given his age and physical condition, he caught up with Kurt at the door.
I want to see you down at the station tomorrow morning with your full identification, do you hear me?
I do, sir, I do. Can I go now?
Kurt went into the shop and slid away among the displays of exotic teas and candles before leaving through a rear entrance.